Okay, why don't we get started? Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the ICANN Trademark Clearinghouse Implementation Assistance Group call number 4. I'm Matt Wald. I'm a contractor for JS Advisors. I support ICANN in the project, and I'll be kicking off today's session. With me today are Karen Lentz of ICANN, and I don't know if Margie has joined us yet, and Francisco Arias, as well as Bill Yang of JS Advisors. Participation for the call is taking place through Adobe Connect at icann.adobeconnect.com/TMCH, where you can view the slides and enter the queue to ask questions. Just a reminder to everyone, this call is being recorded. Just a couple of housekeeping items. We'd like to ask all participants on the call to please mute your phones. If your phone doesn't have a mute capability, you should be able to use *6 on your keypad to mute your line through our conferencing system. And then if you are participating in the IAG RFI process, we ask that you declare your interest when you're participating in this forum. Follow-up will occur via email outside the call. Participants can use the distribution list for discussion, but please do try to adhere to our submission dates for comments so that we can make sure we get them into our summaries in time for each meeting. Okay, so for today's agenda, it will include reviewing the highlights of the 16 December meeting and reviewing comments that we received for issue P4 currently under discussion. Just to remind you, P4 is the issue that deals with community audit logging and compliance requirements for clearinghouse activities. We'll also be introducing two new issues to be discussed at the end, two new issues to be discussed at the January 27th call. And at the end, we'll wrap up and remind you of a couple key dates to be aware of for our next meeting. So let's begin by reviewing some highlights for the December 16th call. First off, we summarized some of the consensus views for P3, which was the responsibility for the trademark holder registration notice, and P5, the responsibility to perform the trademark claims checks. With respect to the trademark holder registration notice, the consensus view was that the clearinghouse was the most appropriate entity to send the notice to the mark holder. And we also received input that standardizing the notice text would increase the probability of successful delivery of the notice. And then with regard to the trademark claims check, we had a very strong consensus that the registrar was the most appropriate place to check for claims. Finally, we then reviewed P4 and then called for your written recommendation, which is the subject of this call. So P3 and P5 are now closed for written comment. So let me talk just a little bit about P4 and some of the comments we received. In general, the views were that the clearinghouse role should be limited to that of a fact checker and to really try to limit its exercise of discretion. This is the views of the commenters. Generally, they felt that reproducibility, meaning that a decision can be easily reproduced at a later date simply by reviewing this information used in the original decision, and traceability, which refers to the collection of proper documentation of decisions, which refers to the collection of proper documentation of decisions, should be one of the primary goals of reporting and logging design so that decisions could be recreated with the same facts. Another commenter suggested a metric to measure the time period between when registration occurs and when the protection mechanism is actually in effect. And then finally, it was pointed out that logs should be kept long enough to meet the appropriate statute of limitations, which could, of course, vary by a jurisdiction. So we did get, a kind of a light number of comments here, so we'd like to open up a brief discussion period just to explore this topic a little bit further. Karen, would you mind leading us through a couple of questions to kick off this part of it?
Sure. Thank you, Matt. You know, this is one of the I think fairly straightforward topics that we're raising, and the intent in here is to capture what requirements or expectations there may be among participants in the clearinghouse processes, and within the community at large on what they want to be able to see in terms of auditing or compliance checking or logging, and what processes systems need to be in place to support those. So the questions that we've posed here, what community, legal, or regulatory compliance considerations should the clearinghouse be considering when designing reporting metrics? If you've looked at the RFI, there is an expectation that there will be some reporting of statistics or data to from the clearinghouse to measure and look at the objectives and how they're being met in how it's been implemented. And then along that line, what process steps could be measured to provide insight into the performance of the clearinghouse services and the value that it's providing to the community. So I will go ahead and open up a queue if there is anyone who wants to speak on these questions. Thanks. Okay, starting with Tom Barrett.
Hi, Karen. I guess one thought I had has to do with transparency of the authentication process. And when I think about the authentication process, really is looking at an application to see if it is a valid trademark registration under the guidelines that we've developed. And I think we need to, in terms of transparency, describe exactly how we're going to do that. And what I mean by that is, every trademark office in every jurisdiction has a record representing that registration, and we should go so far as to identify what fields in that record for each jurisdiction that we're going to check in order to verify or authenticate an application to a clearinghouse. So it's not as simple as saying it needs to be an active trademark. I think we need to define what field in the jurisdiction we're going to check, and what status values constitutes an active trademark. And I think we have to do that for every jurisdiction. So that would give transparency to this entire process. And so it'll be real clear to anyone as a way to go back and verify if the work was done correctly.
Okay, thanks, Tom. So you're recommending a pretty good amount of detail in terms of letting people know how the authentication process works. So if I'm a rights holder and I expect to be recording my trademark data in the clearinghouse, I will know exactly, be able to reference exactly what the points are that are going to be relevant. Is the benefit to that broader than the people that I just mentioned? I mean, there's clearly an interest in the among the rights holders in having that. Is there a broader point to that as well?
Well, the broader point is that all that knowledge needs to be put into place in order for the clearinghouse to operate. But I'm proposing that it be published for public availability so that everyone understands exactly how the clearinghouse process is going to work. And in fact, in a way, it eliminates a lot of discretion on the part of the clearinghouse to deviate from those guidelines. And so I think it helps build trust in how the clearinghouse is going to operate. So I think it benefits the entire, the credibility of the institution.
Okay, thank you. Other thoughts from anyone? too. We anticipated that this could be a shorter call than some, given the topic is fairly straightforward. But we did want to make sure that we were, accounting for, the thoughts and expectations and input that people would have in this area. So, is there anything else anyone wants to add before we move on from P4?
I guess maybe one sub question, Karen, to what you had asked that I'll throw out to the group is, in addition to what things might the community want the clearinghouse to measure, are there things that the community would not want the clearinghouse to measure due to, legal actions that could take place that have to do with trademark challenges? Are there any measures out there that the community would not want to see the clearinghouse collect?
Yes, I have Tom in the queue.
Yeah, I guess I'm having trouble with this question, as I think a lot of other people are too. The one thing that comes to mind on this question is that the clearinghouse is not supposed to be creating new rights for trademark owners, and so I think that kind of is one thing we have to keep track of and report on is, are we in fact giving deference to existing trademark laws, or are things being done that in fact overrides existing trademark offices, and I don't know how we keep track or report on that, but that when I think about legal or regulatory compliance, is really making sure we're not creating new trademark rights that don't already exist.
Okay, thank you. Any other follow-ups? If not, then I will turn it over to Matt. We only had one issue on the agenda for today, so we'll set up a little bit about what we will cover on the next call.
Okay, folks, so the two new issues that are coming up are N1, rights verification, and N2, proof of use. And we'll have some information out to you next week to frame those discussions. Generally speaking, rights verification has to do with what adequate supporting information really should be for authentication of trademark data. And then, of course, for the proof of use standard, which is required to be met to be eligible for the Sunrise process, what are the specific specimens of current use that should be used in order to prove use for a given mark? So those are really the main issues that are on the table. As I said, we'll have something out to you next week in writing to kind of frame those discussions, and then we'll look forward to your written comments and suggestions and recommendations on this. So there's going to be a final comment period for recommendations on P4 that will close January 20th. Gathering from the comments today, that's probably not going to be a problem meeting that. I think this is a pretty straightforward one. And then comments on the two new issues, N2 and N3, we'd like you to get those into us, if you would, please, by January 25th, so we can make sure that we have them in time for the call on the 27th. And as I said, a new issues document for N2 and N3 will be circulated prior to January 18th. The document we've been referring to up until now did not incorporate those two new issues in them, so we'll have to circulate a new briefing doc to you next week. Okay? Thank you all very much for your time and attention, and we look forward to your comments on the next two issues. This concludes our call.
Thank you, everyone.